Don't you know we come this far?
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Third. My name is Sneaqua Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Third. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Third helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the History of Christianity podcast, episode number 118. My name is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. When I became a Christian nearly 40 years ago, a believer in Jesus Christ, I somehow had the crazy idea or notion that Christianity began when I got saved. I had such a dramatic conversion that I understand why I felt that way now. I had no concept of the hundreds, yea, thousands of years of history that Christianity had gone through since the time our Lord Jesus Christ was on earth some 2,000 years ago. I have found that many believers, young and old, have a similar notion. The purpose of this podcast is to dispel this notion by sharing with listeners the history of Christianity from the ministry of Jesus Christ all the way up until the present day in an easy-to-understand format. You don't have to worry. This is not a lecture. This is just a look at the basic facts and figures of Christian history that every believer and every person needs to be aware of. Our history of Christianity scripture passage today is Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10, which reads, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Our history of Christianity quote for today is from C.S. Lewis. He said, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next world. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Now, beloved, last time in the history of Christianity, we looked at the Arian controversy and the Council of Nicaea, part 3. Today, in the history of Christianity, we are looking at the Arian controversy and the Council of Nicaea. The Council of Nicaea, part 4, from Dr. Husserl Gonzalez's fine book, The Story of Christianity, volume 1. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, if you benefit from this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we are using as our text here at Gospel Light Society University. The Story of Christianity, Volume 1 by Dr. Husserl Gonzalez. The book is available on our website for just $30, and it will bless your heart, your mind, and your soul. You can make your purchase today at historyofchristianitypodcast.com. At first, the assembly sought to do this through a series of passages of Scripture. But it soon became evident that by limiting itself to biblical texts, the council would find it very difficult to express its rejection of Arianism in unmistakable terms. It was then decided to agree on a creed that would express the faith of the church in such a way that Arianism was clearly excluded. The exact process they followed is not entirely clear. Eusebius of Caesarea, for reasons that scholars still debate, proposed the creed of his own church. Constantine suggested that the word homoousios, to which we shall return, be included in the creed. Did Constantine know enough about the discussion to come up with this word? Or was it suggested to him by his ecclesiastical advisor, Hosius of Cordoba, as some suspect? Eventually, the assembly agreed on a formula that was based on the Creed of Caesarea, but with a number of additions that clearly rejected Arianism. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, that is, from the substance of the Father, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one substance, homoousios, with the Father, through whom all things were made, both in heaven and on earth, who for us humans and for our salvation descended and became incarnate, becoming human, suffered and rose again on the third day, ascended to the heavens, and will come to judge the living and the dead, and in the Holy Spirit. But those who say that there was when he was not, and that before being begotten he was not, or that he came from that which is not, or that the Son of God is of a different substance, hypostasis, or essence, ousia, or that he is created or mutable, these the Catholic Church anathematizes. This formula, with a number of additions later, and without the anathemas of the last paragraph, provided the basis for what is now called the Nicene Creed, which is the most universally accepted Christian creed. The Apostles' Creed, being Roman in origin, is known and used only in churches of Western origin, which include the Roman Catholic Church and those stemming from the Protestant Reformation. The Nicene Creed, on the other hand, is acknowledged both by these Western churches and by those of the East, including Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, and the like. Next time, beloved, we will continue looking at the Council of Nicaea. Let's pray. Holy Father, God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to meet together once again regarding the history of your Holy Church. We give you glory, praise, and honor for allowing us to be a part of it by leading us to trust your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior, and then allowing us to learn more about it and hopefully applying it to our lives, those good things, and then learning from those bad things. So that we can be more effective in our day and time in proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those who need him most. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know Him today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simply believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed His blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can be a part of the church in this life, and in the life to come, live in heaven forever with God. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and He will do so. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly His story. God bless you. Don't you know?